This is a production of Cornell University.
We'll start in a few minutes, but it looks like we have several staff members, non-members joining us, which is great. But if you are, so I'm going to ask all EA members to go ahead and rename themselves with EA in front of your name, please. I'll ask this right after we call the order as well. That way I can easily distinguish between members and non-members. So if you could just hit rename and put EA in front of your name, please, if you're a member. But it is great to have so many staff members joining us.
So, Adam, I'm sorry, but it's Kate. How do we rename ourselves?
There should be three dots. Actually, I'm sorry, if on my...
Yeah, I see the three dots under participants.
Let's see. Oh, go under your, go to your name under under the participant list to the right, and then click more.
When you
see more, yeah. That's what
and
you have the
rename. Okay. Yep. Thank you.
No problem. So if you're just joining us, we're going to call the order here in just a second, but if you are a member, please rename your display name with the letters EA in front of your name. We have several non-members joining us, so I want to be able to easily distinguish between our members and non-members. And it looks like the time is now. So I'm going to go ahead and call the meeting to order. Hey, you'll take a roll call normally just from the screen like before, if that's okay. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes? You can either do it verbally or give me a chat, but can I get a motion to approve our minutes from last meeting?
I'm moving Kate. The minutes.
All right. Moved by Kate, seconded by Brian. If there are no objections, we will have the minutes approved by unanimous consent. The Office of the Assemblies is going to shortly send out via the group chat a link to the meeting packet. The meeting packet not only includes last meeting's minutes, but it includes a compilation of the feedback we received from the meeting regarding the cost-saving proposals. So thank you very much to Gina and Wendy for doing all that work, putting that together. I'm going to say this one more time in case anybody didn't catch me the first time. For our members, please put EA in front of your display name. We have several people, we have several non-member staff members joining us, which is great. To all of you who are joining us today, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We love seeing staff members drop in and see how we do things. I will make note that unlike last meeting, this format digitally is just a Zoom meeting. It's not a webinar format, which means anybody can talk, anybody can be unmuted. So since we have so many people joining us again, which is great, I would ask that everybody please mute your mics and please wait to be called on in the speakers list as we move forward. Depending on how things go, members will be obviously given the chance to speak first. Essentially, today's meeting is a large open discussion on several topics, but at the discretion of the chair, we will allow non-members to question or comment if all of our members have had a chance to speak on a subject first, because it may be manageable in this format. So we'll see how things go. So with that, we're going to go ahead and get started. Again, thank you all for the great participation at our last meeting with Mary and Paul. Our business today is essentially a large open discussion. The first item being discussing that past meeting, going over feedback, going over any questions, comments, path forward, anything that you want to discuss on the subject. It is again, we are open for discussion on that topic. I will be taking a speakers list, albeit probably with as many people here, not as fast as I normally get to, but please use the raise your hand function first And if not, you can also chat me, letting me know you want to be on the speakers list. But yes, so again, we are open for discussion on the last meeting with Mary Opperman and Paul Streeter regarding the cost saving measures. Karen, go ahead.
Can we ask that anyone just to put their name in instead of like a phone number or an alias, just so we know who everyone is in the meeting?
If they're calling in, it will only be, they can't put a name in, I don't believe.
They can't be renamed? I've renamed people. Well, as a host, you could.
Well, I guess, but I don't want to call on everybody who's using their phone to call in and stall the meeting to rename them. If you're not calling in, please if you'd like to put something other than your net ID, that would be appreciated because we'll be able to more easily identify you. Yeah, I think most people are under their names though, it looks like. Any questions, comments, anything on the meeting, on last week's or on the last EA meeting? Kate? Go ahead.
Okay, I wanted to thank everyone on the executive committee and in the EA office for jumping through hoops so that we were able to invite our fellow staff members not on the EA to participate. I know several people in university relations participated and then I shared the link afterwards. And again, I think it's a testament to the EA that we have you guys have done such a great job of being a really good conduit for communication during this time to staff members. So thank you. That's it.
Laura, go ahead.
Hi, I echo all of that. I appreciate all the work that's gone into this, and I was really glad that we had Mary and Paul last week. I think that was tremendously helpful. I'm looking forward to getting more information with more details and dates and things like that. I also, I did start reading some of the feedback on the website, and thank you to Gina and, thank you for getting it compiled. I wonder though if we're going to actually be able to assess it in the context of this meeting and whether we might need a little more time to take this compilation back and come back as a group to try to look at the feedback and put it in some buckets and see how we're going to tackle it. Just a question of whether this is the best, you know, whether in the context of this meeting we'll be able to actually assess it in a fair way.
And I'm not speaking for everybody. I think that's kind of what we're here to decide as a group going forward. This is, as we've said many times, the nature of everything right now is so fluid that we have to balance expediency with thoroughness, and it's going to be a challenge. So that's why this topic is so important for us collectively as a group to decide, because I don't think our response on such an important thing should be made, you know, in a vacuum by the executive committee or anything like that. So I think procedurally, this, there's no need for a motion or anything like that. But if we come up with a couple of options on responses today, I think just making a motion on how to move forward and voting, making a vote of the members would be the best way to proceed. That way we just decide collectively. And I'm open to anything. I have no preconceived notions about what the best path forward is. So I agree with essentially your sentiment, Laura, that we need to think it through a little bit more. So we're open to all the great ideas that come out today. Next up is Jessica.
So mine is more of a logistical concern or question, but as the chair of the elections committee and seeing all the interest we're getting from staff, I think it would be really great if we could find a way to better communicate that our meetings are happening and how staff can find them. I know we can do it with our own constituents, but it might be good if maybe Carrie and I can talk about getting something in the newsletter. But I'd like to keep the interest in the EA going.
And Carrie, if you want to respond to that, I will say for my part that I think the interest, as we can see just right now, for our meetings is higher than ever. But it's always a challenge when things are moved so often as they have been recently. And again, I appreciate everybody's flexibility, and I know you all did an amazing job getting it out to your constituents just by the virtue of the fact that we had several hundred people joining us in what is essentially a regular meeting. The only way I could see, and Carrie, this is where I would ask you to jump in, would be as if we were able to do multiple e-blasts to staff whenever these changes occur. In general, I think we've got Facebook and our regular newsletter, but Carrie, do you see any other better way than that? It's such a challenge. I don't know. I defer to you and your expertise.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think last week's situation was a little bit unique just because we don't know. This whole thing is unique, this last few months, but you know, we don't normally have scheduling changes and meetings being pushed up and meetings so late in the day, and that's not a typical situation. And we do, of course, have heightened interest in the assembly, so I support that 100%, Jessica. When I'm in the status of the next newsletter, as it stands now, we were holding that to get confirmation of a series of staff forums that are being scheduled. So that's why we haven't sent one out, but we could do a mailing in the interim. And Wendy, our awesome admin for the Office of Assemblies, reminded me that we do have an opt-in mailing list that we can promote with the staff. Which is separate from the all staff mailings, but we could promote subscribing to that mailing list, and anybody who subscribes would get the agenda notifications and schedule change notifications and all of that. So I feel like maybe that is a good starting point, at least to see if we can get a bigger subscriber base for people that are interested in attending and participating in the meeting specifically. That would address that situation.
Hey, Carrie, just real quick, and then Brian, I see you. If I lower your hand in the chat, by the way, it's just because I've written your name down on the speakers list and it's easier for me to keep track. Would it be possible for the communications committee to come up with a very simple digital flyer, so to speak, that the members could use that promotes that e-list that they could just fire out to whatever list they have? And that way, I mean, we could put it in the newsletter as well, but I feel like when our members use the networks and contacts that they have, and they know that there are people that are interested, it gives them a great opportunity. So, I mean, nothing super crazy designy, but just like a simple thing that promotes that e-list, and then we could distribute it out as a resource. Sure. Just a thought. Brian, go ahead.
Hi, everyone. So the BPC met yesterday, and we had a small discussion about the Faculty Senate's resolution. And likewise, some people felt like we should do something, and some said, well, let's see what happens at this meeting. Some of the members have are already taken off and are started writing a resolution to put our views out there, and I appreciate their efforts. I'm in favor of drafting a resolution in support of oppositions to salary cuts, retirement cuts, and I support furloughs instead of layoffs, and a resolution to that order I think is very appropriate. I also believe, as I said at Mary and Will's meeting, that there are many alternatives that we should tap into first, and I think that there's assets there that aren't being tapped into, and that has me worried. If you read the Faculty Senate's proposal in the comments, there are some concerns I have about some of those comments too, and worthwhile reading. I'm looking forward to going through the packet that was just released to us on all the comments, and I see there's many of them. So I agree with Laura that we don't have time to go through it all today, but maybe in future we can go through them things. I'm concerned, and I think it was brought up by Jamie at the last EA meeting about what happened with 2009 and lessons learned. As I said before, I think that we have seen, Mary Oppen mentioned that she's seen the staff numbers from 2009 return. Unfortunately, I don't think all those staff numbers have returned for the frontline workers. There may have been some positions created, but I know that we were down in building care alone 40 to 60 people, and those numbers have not returned. So I'm still reeling in from what happened in 2009. We haven't seen those returns. So there's lots of questions and lots of unanswered questions as well. So that's my view. I think that a resolution is due. I am in support of the faculty senate's resolution as it stands right now. But there's more out there that I think needs to be done. That's my two cents.
Thanks, Brian. And just so everybody knows, you know, all of these topics are kind of nebulous. We're following an agenda as best we can. We had planned on specifically discussing the Faculty Senate resolution under new business, but honestly, it dovetails with our discussion right now. So, they all kind of flow together. Let's see. Let's go to Carrie.
Hey again, everyone. So I have a couple thoughts on Laura's comment about what we do with all this. I was thinking last week, I would like to propose, and this is maybe separate or in tandem with the resolution that Brian's talking about, but I would like to propose that that a working group sort of assign themselves to going through that feedback and writing a response to be presented to the assembly, maybe at the next meeting or whatever, but a response to the proposals presented that takes into account the feedback that we've gotten from the staff. And I guess I was thinking, not necessarily in the resolution sort of manner, but just breaking down the solutions that were presented and what concerns we may have or what nuances we'd like to look deeper at, just for consideration by the decision makers. So I would like to propose that we do that, some sort of, maybe it's a letter, a signed letter or something. I'm not really sure what form it would take, but some sort of response. And you know, on the proposals in general, you know, there, some of the feedback that we got, I thought was really important. Things that I don't know we've heard answers to yet, but like why is only the staff targeted for salary cuts? I understand there are reasons why they said, you know, faculty promotions and tenure decisions would move forward as scheduled, and I can understand that. But when we talk about broad across the board salary cuts, we're all employees of the university. So why is the staff only targeted? And if we were to spread that out, wouldn't we see a smaller impact on each individual? So, you know, I would like to address that. I also, to Brian's point about how the staff has grown back to its size, I was concerned about some of those comments only because I felt like they would be perceived as the staff having grown back to its previous size would be perceived as just bloat, like extra people, unnecessary positions. And you know, maybe there is some maybe there's some efficiencies that need to be looked for, but I really have trouble reconciling that with the feedback that we get year after year from the staff, who say, and this is a lot of staff members who will say they feel overworked. They've never had so much on their plate. They, you know, it's just more, 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 the whole do more with less approach. We hear that all the time. So I'm, you know, I was concerned at that the perception would be that we've just added all these people for no reason. I mean, I was like, you know, in a lot of ways, I think maybe it's, you know, we're doing more. People are being asked to take on more. And I just, you know, I have a hard time with that. So I'd like to figure out where people have been added, if that's really something we need to delve into. But if there are certain areas where we really need more help, then help target that so that people can be moved around. But I just really feel like the staff may have grown back, but we still are hearing from a lot of people that their workloads are not normal. So anyway, that and the concern about that we saw in some of the feedback about the retirement cuts and how the older staff members might be particularly put at a disadvantage there because they're, you know, they're on their last few years of retirement gains and saving for that nest egg. So anyway, those are just some of my concerns and my suggestions. That's all. Thank you.
Thanks, Carrie. Okay, so essentially Carrie put a proposal on the table, which is, as I understand it, I'm trying to take notes from everybody to keep things organized. You know, assign a work group or a willing group of people to give responses to the proposed cost saving measures in a sort of a step-by-step breakdown, either in tandem or separate from a resolution that kind of Brian was talking about, but and also specific responses to the staffing size comments. A lot of people mentioned in chat, and I'm going to move back to the speakers list to try to get through everybody, and then maybe we'll talk specifically on how we want to move forward. But deadlines will probably be very important, establishing them, because we'll have to be cognizant of the fact that these proposals will be implemented by the university potentially soon. So we'll need to decide on when we want to deadline ourselves to the response to the proposed cost saving measures. Rigel, go ahead.
Well, I was going to mention some of the feedback that I received from a constituent about the retirement cuts, but I'll just echo what Carrie had to say about the task force, because I think that's a really good idea. And, you know, even though we did hear just projections from Paul Schreeder, you know, we don't know what's going to be decided at the end of the day and what's going to be official. So I think coming up with some kind of contingency plan, you know, to just move forward however it goes, I think that's a really good idea, and I'd be happy to volunteer my time to work on something like that.
Great. Thanks, Rigel. Hey, go ahead. Nope, you're muted, Hey.
Sorry. I'm not sure if everybody's read the Faculty Senate resolution, but just to provide an overview, the Faculty Senate today is going to vote on a proposed resolution in support of continued employment for Cornell staff, maintaining the staff employment level as is, and making a commitment from senior leadership to make the necessary changes and implement different strategies to ensure that staff are protected throughout this difficult time. So that is what the Faculty Senate is going to discuss and vote on today. I agree with a lot of, you know, the feedback that we've gotten, that a similar resolution, a resolution in support of this resolution would be very important. I'm reading the chat, and I also agree that timing is of the essence. The next EA meeting is July 1st. I believe the board is meeting June 26th. And so I think, I'm not sure if meeting next employee assembly meeting to approve and then move the resolution forward would be very timely. I think, I know it's such a short turnaround time, but would it make sense to either have a meeting before June 26th, or maybe try to do some of this work offline and then vote on the resolution, assuming that we're all able to meet again. I believe that I've also shared this with the university assembly. So Pilar, who used to be the vice chair of the employee assembly, she also is going to share this with Bob Howarth, the chair of the university assembly, and they might show support for it as well. So I'm happy to see that across the assemblies, there seems to be support for this. Is there any feedback that we would like to discuss whether to add on to this resolution or to iron out that maybe we noticed from reviewing the Faculty Senate feedback, which is available online as well. Some individuals have indicated that there might be issues with how we would pragmatically implement, maintaining certain levels of employment. I believe individuals have indicated that it reduces the degree of freedom to make budgetary cuts to allow the university to move forward. And so there has been some feedback in regards to how essentially the college would implement, this policy if we were to maintain staff levels throughout this crisis. So that's my feedback. I am in support of a similar resolution, and I'd like to kind of discuss what that might look like, and I'd be happy to work on it as well. And also, I wanted to note how short of a time frame we have really to iron out these details because the Board of Trustees meeting is so soon, and our next EA meeting is after the Board of Trustees meeting. So that's my commentary on it. Thank you.
And just to note, if we decide, we have all the capability in the world to add additional meetings at our discretion. So we can make whatever we need to happen. Let me go to Brandon. You're next.
Thanks, Adam. I think I've voiced this in the past. You know, I think sometimes we get overly involved in some of the semantics of a document and a conversation, and that at times it's important to just focus on action. As I voice in that meeting with Paul Streeter, the furloughs that are listed there have a huge impact on my organization in student and campus life, as well as others I know. I would really advocate that if you look at this Faculty Senate resolution, you could simply replace the words Faculty Senate with Employee Assembly, and it speaks correctly. It doesn't speak in any way that it's specific to because of this faculty or this faculty. It simply states the importance and acknowledges the importance of asking the university to consider remaining employed staff. So that's one way in which we could look at doing this, because in my opinion, I think that was the, I think, yes, absolutely, the retirement funds and the reduction in salaries are huge. The furloughs would greatly impact people. And there is no scenario at this time that we know of that those that would get furloughed come fall semester would receive any sort of assistance. So with that, knowing that that's on the horizon, that there would be furloughed without any additional assistance from the government, that additional $600 that an employee might get to be able to maintain whole, there is no possibility as we see it right now. It could change. But I think it's important to stand strong and stand up for the staff in this particular subject, because it would have, without a doubt, the greatest individual impact to folks in our staff community. So I would advocate that we look at simply taking this document and applauding the Faculty Senate for their work on it and thanking them so much, and move that we look to just use this resolution and move that forward, be my recommendation.
Okay, so I'm going to count that as an alternative proposal that we, that instead of a work group be formed or a differing response, that we adopt wholesale the Faculty Senate resolution. So I'm just, again, keeping track and trying to referee everything, everybody, sorry. Okay, so next up we have Marcy.
Hi. I was just wondering, does anyone know, is the faculty, are there going to be faculty cuts, like the staff? It sounded like in all of the things that I've read, the faculty minutes, that they were given the same presentation. Do we know for sure?
I Are you talking about the presentation that we were given?
Yes,
my understanding is literally 15 minutes earlier their meeting started, and they were provided with the same presentation. Again, it was given at their meeting by the provost, and I don't know who else was in attendance, and I don't know how the format may have differed, but I believe it was the same scenarios. There was no difference, and it was outlined to them literally 15, 20 minutes before our meeting started. So,
and it was, they'll also be having salary cuts and a retirement reduction.
I believe that is correct. I don't have the proposal in front of me. Can anybody speak to that? I thought that the reductions were across the board, but
I thought so too. But
it's staff only. We've been told that staff only.
I'm sorry, who's speaking?
Christine okay. Mahoney.
Staff only. All right.
Yes, okay. We've been told that.
Well, yeah. I wanted to be sure because I've heard some people have heard difference. So.
And I was trying to find something in the staff senate or something to indicate that they aren't, you know, to find some answer, but I can't really find any clarification or if it's word of mouth. Is there, you know, because I've heard from some faculty that they hadn't heard okay. that they'd be cuts or any retirement reduction. But
and I'm hearing what I thought I've heard before too, or we're seeing this in the chat, that it was presented as a holistic cut to faculty and staff.
Yeah, if I could add real quick, in the brief overview of the budget shortfalls that the Faculty Senate put out on 6/2/2020, it included both the faculty and staff in both the retirement and the salary cuts.
Yep, that was my understanding too. So I'm, unfortunately, we've been going off of things like, you know, PowerPoints and stuff like that with bullet points. But I think from enough sources from what I've heard that the cuts are holistic. Let me see. Brian, you were, I'm sorry, Marcy, was that it? Are you good?
Sorry. No, I had one more thing. Am I on?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. I also support the having a resolution but also more immediate some kind of a recognition of all of the comments that people took. I know it's going to take some time, but just like some kind of acknowledgement, and also the overwhelming in all the comments, people want a choice of whether they get a salary reduction or a retirement reduction. I'm state, so I have no choice, but people who do have choice, just some type of acknowledgement, and I'd be happy to help with wherever I can.
Thanks, Martin. Mm-hmm. All right, Brian.
So on the resolution, using the faculty resolution as a guide, both Jamie and Frank have already started working on that. Robert, Frank, have started working on a resolution using it as a guide. They started that earlier today. It's inbox, and they've been corresponding with different parties with that. So that's a place where we can go. On that proposal for a resolution, I would second that. I would also add in that if we are going to second it, I propose having a meeting before they meet, possibly next week, so we can share it and take a vote on it.
Thanks, Brian. Karen?
I'm okay now.
Sounds good. Okay. I don't see any other any other members seeking to be recognized. Here's one thing that to kind of curate this process going forward that I would suggest. Number one, we have a leadership meeting with Jeremy and I have a leadership meeting with Mary Opperman tomorrow. We will get 100% clarity on the status of the cuts. I'm pretty sure they are, like I said, holistic to the entire population, but we will confirm that. hey, if you don't mind making note, can we send that question to Marilyn today or this afternoon? And we will get you all that official response as soon as we get it, again, because things have been so fluid. We're going off PowerPoints. We want to make sure everybody has the correct information.
And I wanted just to clarify, it seems like there's some conversation in the chat in regards to like SIP and then salary cuts. From my understanding, because endowed and contra college employees operate differently, on the endowed side, there wouldn't be contribution to retirement, but because the state on the contract college side provides funding for those retirement benefits, that would in turn be a salary cut on the contract college side.
That was always my understanding.
Okay, just for clarity for everybody.
Yeah, we can double triple check with Mary, but that from the beginning has what I had always heard were the differing options based on the nature of contract, the contract college and the endowed side. To, like I said, try to organize a path forward for us in terms of a response. We have a couple options, or at least mostly everybody seems to be marching towards the same goal in effect of wanting to produce a resolution outlining our specific responses. We need to pick a deadline. We can add a meeting early next week if we need to. That is fine, but we need to have a willing group of people who will rapidly put in work on either a different resolution / response, and we can have a resolution and add an attachment or an addendum that would describe something along the lines of what Carrie is pointing out, or we can just have a very robust resolution. I will leave it up to those members who are interested in working on this, but the work would have to start now. At least in my opinion, the response needs to be very quick. We, as Carrie thankfully and rightfully pointed out, we can vote electronically if we need to. I have no problem with having a meeting because it will offer more time for discussion on the results of those people who are going to offer themselves to work so hard starting very soon. So the other option being adopting Brandon's proposal of essentially adopting the Faculty Senate resolution with our information on it and moving forward that way. I will take suggestions on a date. I have so far Hey and Rigel who have said that they would be willing to work on a work group. Carrie, I think said you would too. Let me recognize Brian and Laura, and then let's maybe vote on some things to just collectively decide on a path forward. So Brian, go ahead.
Well, can I ask that, so the BPC committee is meeting next week. We've already scheduled a meeting for Tuesday. I've got two members on the committee already working on a resolution and others chiming in. Can I suggest that we take the lead on that and work through the bugs and present it to the group at our meeting on Tuesday, and then maybe the following Wednesday have an EA meeting to present it to the group? Would that work?
I will put that to a vote if that is okay with everybody. First of all, people would have to be comfortable with that time frame. And Brian, I would suggest that those members who have offered them, who aren't on your committee but have offered themselves to work on this issue, be allowed to, if we go forward that way, to come in with the Benefits and Policy Committee and be a part of the conversation. Okay. And again, I apologize. This is not, there are tons of comments coming in the chat. There are people wanting to be recognized, and I'm trying to keep track of multiple multiple different proposals. Laura and Jamie, I see you. I'm going to put your hands down. I'm going to put it to a vote. Does the body want the Benefits and Policy Committee to take the lead on this starting next Tuesday? And then Brian, when would you say you would have a finished product for us to, as a body, vote on as a whole?
So we are meeting next Tuesday. So anytime after that, we're meeting next Tuesday at 10:30. The BPC meeting is happening then. And anybody that wants to be a part of that, I will send a link.
Hey, when did you say when the board meeting is? I don't have it in front of me.
What I've been told is the board meeting is supposed to be June 26th. So that's next Friday. So on Tuesday, the 23rd, that's the BPC meeting. Wednesday, the 24th, is that when we're proposing that we meet again?
Affirmative.
It's a very short turnaround time.
Yeah. So you all would have to produce something for us to schedule a new meeting around and or at least vote electronically on by later on that same week, Brian, I would say, if that's feasible for you and your committee.
I have complete faith in Jamie and Robert's work.
Okay. I'm going to recognize everybody I'm seeing, but I'm going to ask for a vote on this to see if those members would be okay with the Benefits and Policy Committee taking the lead on this. So I would like to make that motion. Do we have a second?
Second
by Hey. All those either indicate yes, no, or a hand up would be an abstention in the chat. Okay. It looks like most everybody is okay with Benefits and Policy taking the lead on this, with the caveat that anybody who would like to join them and work with them on the proposal, reach out to Brian after this meeting. He'll make sure you have the meeting details and you will all collectively come together and produce something amazing. So, okay, I lost my speakers list. Let me, Brian, can I lower your hand? Are you good?
I'm good.
Okay, Andrea, go ahead. Carrie, I see you.
All I was gonna say, for there are a lot of people on this call that may not understand the acronym of BPC, and it's the Benefits and Policy Committee. A lot of folks may be confused by that.
Thank you. That is a good call. We have a lot of internal jargon here. Yes, that is one of our committee's Benefits and Policy, which has the purview over looking at and opining on employee benefits and those policies that affect employees. Carrie, go ahead.
Just wanted to clarify what we just voted on. So BPC is lead, and that's great. I just wanted to make sure it doesn't prevent us from continuing work on this week, correct?
No, I think the way I see it is the Benefits and Policy Committee will take the lead on a resolution. All of the members may obviously work on this, collect data, write down opinions at their discretion, perhaps just work through trying to collect those with Brian and the committee. And then when the committee meets next Tuesday, everybody can go over that. I would not hesitate to start work, any member who wants to work on this now, and then the committee will be all the better by having that much information next week.
Okay, because I'm just thinking a quick call or two and maybe some draft work this week, and then that way there's something to review and discuss, like something substantial on Tuesday.
I think that's a good idea. There'll be a need to start work probably immediately. Brian, I think, can you resend me the meeting invite as well? I will try to be in attendance as well. Laura, I'm sorry, I think I missed you before. Please go ahead.
So I understand the Benefits and Policy Committee will take the lead on the resolution, but were we going to talk about having a separate statement that talks about or response to all the comments that people made that would go along with that resolution? And is that going to be a separate group of us working on that?
Here's what I would suggest, and we've done this before. I would suggest that anybody interested in working on that as well work through the Benefits and Policy Committee, and that can be attached as an addendum.
Okay.
We've attached addendums before resolution whenever there's too much data or information to put in whereas clauses. And I think that would actually be a nice, I mean, you know, the divestment resolution had a big white paper that went along with it. And it would be nice for board members, the administration, what have you, to be able to have that information to flip through, to have real robust comments from staff that have come through. And those comments should be heard, in my opinion. So that's what I would suggest, adding an addendum to the resolutions, but still working through the Benefits Policy Committee just to keep things as organized as possible. Okay. Let's see, Wendy with OA, can you lower everybody's yes votes, or can everybody else lower their yes votes, please? Brian, did you have something else to say?
Yeah, just real quick. Can we, I don't know if this should be new business, but the faculty senate's version, can we take an affirmation vote on whether we endorse that or not, so they have something to go with?
Well, that's actually a perfect time to just go into it. Technically, we're talking about it under new business anyway. Wendy, if you don't mind putting the link one more time into the chat so everybody can easily reference it in their computers. As you all, or most of you have probably seen, the Faculty Senate have crafted and distributed a resolution supporting staff and staff jobs. This, again, goes in tandem with what the Benefits and Policy Committee is doing, but this is a good time at least to affirm our support for their resolution or talk about it. So once again, I'll open the floor to comments, questions, or even a motion just to, again, we don't have a resolution on the floor, but we can at least collectively affirm our support for their sentiment in the resolution. The floor is open for questions, comments, motions, haikus, anything? Carrie.
I was just going to say my response to this, to the resolution, I feel like may change or may, I feel like I need the answer to the question about staff and faculty and how they're treating the two groups with regard to the different cost saving measures and whatnot. So I don't know. That's just my thinking. I feel like I need the answer to that before I would formally endorse something. Maybe I'm not thinking about it in the right way though. I don't know.
Okay. Thank you, Carrie. Robert?
Can I just ask you a process question? In terms of, this would just be saying that the employee assembly is fully behind this, and basically then, because Jamie and I were working off of basically the faculty senate's language, and then we were just adding stuff around salary and benefits as well. So I just wanted to, it's just a process question.
From a process standpoint, we don't have, you know, let me back up. The Faculty Senate has crafted and put out their own resolution. We don't have the ability, because we did not have time to produce our own, even if it were to just put our name on theirs, to put out a complimentary resolution. We can make a motion and vote some sort of an affirmation. I mean, the body always has a chance to vote on it, but it's going to be a nebulous thing. We'll state for the record what we're exactly voting on. We can say we agree with the sentiment of protecting staff jobs. I think that could maybe even get around, you know, I understand, Carrie and Jessica, your questions with regards to, you know, we need to have more facts about what the impacts between faculty and staff will be. But maybe we can all get around the idea that we agree with the sentiment of protecting staff jobs in general. But it's very difficult because our official actions come in the form of resolutions. So it's basically a poll of the member support for a question that is stated for the record. So how we state that question is important, but procedurally, I don't think that we can actually even officially say, you know, we one way or the other adopt an action supporting something without a resolution. We need our own resolution. we can kind of pull the members with a motion. That's my only alternative that I can think of as a representative body. We act through resolutions generally. So if that answers your question, it's. Okay. So if there are no other questions or comments on the resolution, and we've got some time here. I will open it up briefly for any staff member joining us. I don't see any members seeking recognition. If any staff member joining us would like to give an opinion or ask a question of the assembly, you're more than welcome at this point. I will probably call for just an informal vote of the members on the sentiment to the Faculty Senate resolution after we take some open forum questions. But anybody joining us who would like to seek recognition, you are welcome to do so. Elizabeth Edmondson, go ahead. If you may be muted, but you can speak, let me see.
Yes, thanks. I just wanted to know if we're thinking about a time for next week, Wednesday's meeting.
Are you referring to the committee meeting of the our benefits?
No, the employee assembly meeting. We're talking about having a follow-up possibly next Wednesday.
I think we're going to have to wait and see when our benefits and policy committee knows when they will have a draft resolution and draft response ready, and then schedule something as soon as possible after that.
Okay.
I would recommend, and maybe we can put it in the chat or send it directly to Elizabeth, the meeting notification listserv. And that way, whenever all of our members are sent a meeting notification for next week, you'll get a notification as well. And that way you won't miss anything. That's probably the best way, because I'm reticent to schedule a date right now without our committee knowing when they might have their work at least somewhat complete. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm just anxious not to miss the next meeting because I wasn't somehow aware of this meeting.
I totally understand, and we're anxious for anybody who wants to join us to definitely not miss as well. We love having staff members here. So I think somebody's going to send you the link to the listserv. You can give us your email, and then you will get notifications for when we actually post our meetings. And that way you won't miss anything, because we definitely don't want to miss any staff members.
Okay. And just to clarify, if all staff members need to join this link, it's not automatic. You have to request to join
it's a Zoom meeting link. So you'll have to, if you're talking about the listserv, yes. Yeah, you'll have to.
Okay, that's good to know.
Send them an email to have your name put on it.
Okay, all right, thank you.
No problem. I see Don.
Yeah.
Don Basley seeking recognition, go ahead.
Yeah. I, first of all, I'll preface my question with the reality that I've not been keeping up on any of these issues and on any of the university's real proposed actions or any of the involvement really with the employee assembly. I did watch the presentation that was given, I believe, last Friday, so I've heard a little bit and that's it. So I'll preface my comment with that. And it seems to me that, the faculty, first of all, I will say, I also appreciate the wording of the resolution from the faculty. That's fantastic. But I wonder, sometimes I look at these very ultra complex issues in a very simple form, and I seriously wonder what the total salary output of the university is. Salaries paid for faculty and staff, and that would be a phenomenal number, I believe. Average salary of faculty is around $200,000 a year, and there's a lot of faculty. So my question is, has it been considered or thrown out for discussion that everyone take a 1% cut to make up for the shortfalls? And that way the fiscal responsibility or the fiscal issue could be solved with very minimal disruption to anyone. Has that been considered at all? Or is faculty no cuts?
Well, and I'm gonna preface my response, and any member who can put this better, please jump in. I believe that the across the board cut proposals, and again, we're going to confirm this, do apply to faculty and staff in terms of a broad based percentage cut. I have not heard a broad based percentage cut to salaries in general. I have not heard that proposed as a solution. However, some of the differing scenarios that were presented to us last week, again, are somewhat nebulous. So it's difficult to know the different alternatives that are out there without having a little bit more information. If, for instance, we go into a completely remote fall or something like that. I think that for right now, my understanding is it is the pension contribution cut on the endowed side and the salary cut on the contract side, because they cannot do anything about retirement contributions for the contract college. Again, I haven't heard of any broad-based across the board salary cuts, but again, these comments are the types of things that our members and our committee members can incorporate into their feedback in our official message, which is why it's so good to have staff members attend these and give us feedback like what you just brought up. So I appreciate it. It's a useful conversation to have in terms of maybe something more, even more holistic, that's across the board.
I did get the three scenarios they laid out, as well as the contract side and the endowed side. I kind of saw that, but I was really under the impression that when they were talking about different options, such as early retirement incentives, salary reductions, whatever, I believe you're telling me that they were talking about all faculty and staff getting those reductions. I thought it was just staff they were referring to in that presentation.
My understanding is that it is across the board, but we are going to confirm that as early as tomorrow with senior administration. So again, it's kind of the problem with so much coming out in different places, and then we get a PowerPoint presentation. I think that there is a fair amount of confusion out there. So that's one point that we're going to absolutely, without any doubt, clarify hopefully tomorrow, just to make sure. My impression is that it is across the board, including faculty, but we want to make sure others have heard other things. So it's that's what we're trying to establish. So thank you. I appreciate it. So now, seeing no other staff member or member of the EA seeking recognition, I'm going to propose that we just take what is essentially, I'm going to make a motion for an informal vote on the sentiments of what the Faculty Senate resolution proposes. Again, this is not an official endorsement, I because I don't believe that we can do that without an official resolution, but it gives some sort of, gives us some sort of fingers on our on the pulse of the EA for what they're trying to accomplish. So with that, I would like to make a motion. I see others trying to be recognized. Let me get through this motion first and then we'll circle back. I would like to make a motion that the employee assembly agrees with the sentiment that throughout this unprecedented time, staff jobs be protected and secured in every way possible. All those in favor indicate yes. All those opposed, no. Abstentions, you just use the raise your hand function and I'll count that as an abstention. Okay. I believe all of the members are voting yes, except for Karen and Josh, who have indicated an abstention. Thank you. I think that that at least partially does what some folks on the Faculty Senate are looking for. I see recognition, Elizabeth Edmondson, you're seeking recognition. You can go ahead.
No, I was not. I was raising my hand to vote.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. This is we love having all the participation and all of our members really engaged, but I, if it sounds like I'm staggering a little bit, it's because I'm trying to monitor like four things at once and it's tough.
Thank you.
Kit Tannenbaum had her hand up.
Yes. Hi.
Hi, Kit.
Hi. I wanted to, yeah, thank you. And thanks for having open staff forum. I wanted to circle back, I think, to the communication or notifications of the employee assembly activity towards the staff as a whole. I admit that I knew that it existed, but I didn't particularly pay attention to what the employee assembly did or how much impact it has on the university until I brought a policy concern to the Benefits and Policy Committee, and I've really enjoyed my time serving on the committee. And I know there are talks about limiting some, you know, having email communications sent to all staff or limiting that, but I think I would like to advocate that broader reach be given to Cornell staff or to the staff as a whole. I would say, for example, when we have the webinars with Mary Opperman, those were promoted to the staff as a whole. And it seems, you know, there was great participation in those. And I think if people in general are becoming more cognizant of things that are directly, opportunities to speak on things that are directly impacting their work, I think we would see even more participation in the employee assembly.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And we, personally, I agree with the sentiments. The only caveat I would add is, and Carrie, correct me if I'm wrong, but we do have limited access to the all staff. We're not able to send all staff emails before every meeting. Is that a fact, Carrie, because we have limited access? Or?
Well, I mean,
I'll let you feel that. It's kind of a communications question.
Historically, we had permission to send an all staff email, like a newsletter, monthly. Obviously, we were sending out all staff communications before the various town halls, so it's not so much a firm limitation. I think, you know, as I was saying, I think the planning around last week's meeting in particular just got a bit away from us and you know, just timeline wise. So it wasn't an intentional obscuring of the information. That wasn't our intent, but I understand that it was an important meeting and it was an important presentation. And personally, I would have liked for all the thousands of people that tuned into our previous town halls or staff forums to have tuned in last week. So I think we can do better. And I definitely agree with your point, Kit.
Thank you. And I mean, more so in general, not just necessarily with last week, but going forward, me realizing that there are clear direct avenues for employees to have a voice. I think it's really great that we have assemblies at Cornell, and this definitely inspires me to come to more meetings and participate, because I realize that I do have a voice. I mean, relative to, let's say, in the grand scheme of things, like a federal government, yes, we have a voice, but they always, you know, having such a direct impact on something that, you know, we all live and breathe Cornell every day. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
And I agree with that sentiment. It's we are given to anybody watching. I encourage, you know, it's kind of a tell your friends moment, because we actually have a seat at the table. We're given a lot of latitude and partnership with senior administration, and your voice is how we do our job. We work best whenever we get interaction from other staff members. So we encourage participation, and we'll do everything we can, hopefully more so in the future, to let as many staff members know about our meetings, about what we're doing, about our committees, things like that. So thank you. I agree wholeheartedly with the sentiment, and I appreciate you being here. So seeing no one else seeking recognition, the only other thing I will bring up, we had on our agenda something, an item about upcoming forums, and Carrie, I know you especially have been waiting for this information. We hope to get final confirmation of the plan going forward tomorrow. Again, with Mary and her office, and have the different topics for the topical ones laid out. If we're lucky, have the schedule for when the president might attend one of our larger forums. Like I said, knock on wood, we'll have that information tomorrow for everybody. It's again, things are so fluid, we keep getting knocked off course, and for good reasons, not for bad things or frivolous distractions, but it's, you know, we hope to be able to set this schedule and stick to it as best we can. So more on that tomorrow. And with that, Elizabeth Edmonton, yes. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to follow up on that point about disseminating information to staff meetings. I think it's so important that we participate in the assembly in any way we can. And I just wondered if the assembly had surrogates in each unit. You know, for example, I'm going to share with my boss that, you know, we can join this group by way of joining the listserv. And if we had surrogates in each unit who could disseminate that type of basic information to make sure that we're all participants. I see Gladys is on. I know Gladys would be willing to do it for Cornell Abroad, just so that we get the reach that you really want and the participation. That may be a way of doing it, if we get volunteers from the units or major units to do this.
For my opinion, I think that's a great idea. Each of our members represents some sort of a working unit, college, or affinity group. And it is always difficult sometimes for our members to get interaction and feedback from the people they represent. I myself, aside from being chair, I'm the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences representative. It's a huge college, and it's very difficult to interact with employees across it. So
absolutely. So I was thinking, within the college, there are surrogates within units. Mm-hmm. So the EA member is not tasked with doing this. It's farmed out to various units. For example, you know, I fall under the office of the Vice Provost for International Affairs, and three major units there. I know the center, the office of the Vice Provost, and Global Learning. And if each of us were a surrogate, we had a surrogate in each unit, then that would help to start to disseminate the information. Because I know a lot of staff would be interested in hearing what the assembly has to say, and certainly participating and possibly contributing.
I think it's a great idea. I think as many of our members who would be able to establish connections with surrogates in different units that fall under the areas they represent, I know that they would love it. It's an idea that has a great amount of merit, and if we could have that many other people coordinating with our members, that would be awesome. So I see Laura, you're putting your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, just saying that
Laura,
I can make sure that information gets out to Anoudi and others that are working there. That's not a problem.
And I would, we do have a communications vice chair and a communications committee, Carrie Sanzone. If you or anybody who's joining us wants to learn more or help us in any way, get the message out, I would recommend contacting her or the communications committee in general, maybe even joining in one of their meetings. That's right in their wheelhouse, because for us to be able, you know, we're all only one person per representative unit. So for us to have surrogates, ambassadors, sponsors, whatever, people who are willing to interact with the members and then collectively get a message back to the EA, we would all love it. I would have, I from day one, I would have loved to have that in CALS. And we all do the best we can, but if there's some formal way that communications can work with you to establish something like that, assuming there's interest out there, we would be so game for it. I can't even tell you. I know that we'd love it. So thank you. I think it's a great idea. Let me see. Anyway, which by the way, if you see me pause, it's because I'm trying to scan the chat while I'm also doing this. So I know it's, I'm like staggering so much during this meeting. Okay. If there's any, is there anybody else seeking recognition, staff or member, any other topic? Our path is set. The Benefits and Policy Committee will be doing its great work along with anybody who is volunteering their supports. Members, of course, we are working as we can throughout the summer. So if you have other things, other ideas, other projects that you'd like to bring to the body, please do not hesitate. You're more than welcome. And we will hopefully have that forum scheduled out very soon. But with that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right. With that, seeing no objections, we are adjourned by unanimous consent. Thank you all so much. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you real soon.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.